a previous elder in our church, but he moved into the States, so it's a real blessing to have him come and minister us to us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Elder John. It's always very nice to be back here. So I wish everybody good morning. Georg and I would like to express our heartfelt congratulations on this 39th anniversary of Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. I would also like to thank Pastor Key and Session for giving me this opportunity to preach at this wonderful location, and I do count it an honor to do so. As we gather to celebrate this special occasion, we reflect on the past with heartfelt gratitude, and we look forward with hope to the future. In doing so, we must praise God for the unwavering presence of His grace and the depth of His mercy, which has sustained us over the last 39 years. I see some new faces here, so I'm not sure how many people here know about the early church history. Now, going back about four decades, a missionary, Reverend Edward Power, from the Independent Board of Presbyterian Foreign Missions, his wife, Sister Lee here, and their three children came to live in Adelaide. After getting to know Reverend Power and Sister Lee here, Sister Sally Law and her brother, John Tan, along with Mr. and Mrs. Irvine, Mrs. Pauline Stevens, and Mrs. Lorraine Tai, requested Bible studies, and on March 1, 1986, was the start of monthly Bible studies at the home of Reverend and Mrs. Power at Sanford Street in Kensington Gardens. About a dozen people attended. Soon after, it was felt amongst those attending Bible studies that believers should assemble for worship service in obedience to Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. June 22, 1986, was the start of worship services, held initially at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Wesley Irvine in Parra Hills. This new congregation comprised seven adults and half a dozen children. Sister Sally Law and her three children attended this first service. We praise God that both Sally Law and her son Elton are still regular worshippers at this church. The congregation chose the name of the church, Hope Bible Presbyterian Church, from Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. From the Irvine home, the church relocated to what was known as the Scout Hall on Regency Road, Enfield, in November 1986, where it remained, I believe, for about 18 months before moving to the Kensington Special School on Chipsters Road on May 1, 1988. A 1989 photo of the young congregation shows 33 adults and children, including the Law, Selvanagam, and Lee families. I think we can say that these are the pioneer families of Hope BP Church. The Lord blessed Hope BP Church greatly, and she was able to acquire her own building on January 4, 1994, fondly known as the Stone Mansion at 82 Wattle Street, Fullerton. Then the Lord added to our numbers greatly, and the Stone Mansion could no longer accommodate us, leading to its sale so that a larger church building could be purchased. On September 27, 2015, we rented the chapel of the Bible College of South Australia for about 15 months and moved our worship services there. On January 20, 2017, we took possession of our current church in Colonel Light Gardens, and at its dedication service on 30th of April 2017, 233 people attended. This morning's message is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. But before going to these verses, I would like to go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 41, just for some context. The early church was born in a flurry of divine power at Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. In the upper room, 120 people, including the apostles, had gathered when suddenly a sound like a powerful wind from heaven swept through and filled the entire house. Then tongues of fire appeared and rested upon each of them. In that moment, something remarkable occurred. They began speaking for the first time in various known languages. So as word spread, a large crowd assembled, some in awe of what they witnessed, while others scoffed, dismissing them as drunken. Then Peter stood up and delivered a powerful sermon, speaking of the miracles of Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrection, leading up to these closing words in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God had made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter boldly accused them of having an evil hand in the death of Jesus. Remember that some were the same ones who could have earlier shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" As they listened to Peter's message, they were pricked in their hearts and asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" Peter calls them to repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The response was overwhelming. 3,000 were added to their number that day, Acts 2:41. Many may associate this event with a miracle because of the newfound ability of some to speak in a foreign tongue and the sheer number of new believers. But perhaps let me suggest to you, the greater miracle was the transformation of sinful hearts into a worshipping community. The Holy Spirit was reigning. I'm always amazed whenever I read that there were 3,000 new converts, and imagine how we ourselves would rejoice if the Lord added such a large number to our church. Amidst all the rejoicing, we cannot, however, downplay the gravity of 3,000 new pastoral responsibilities that suddenly landed on the shoulders of the apostles. The 3,000 composed of Jews who came from many nations. Despite the potential for 3,000 reasons for possible issues and conflicts to be brewing, we learn from verse 47 that this community of new believers were having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their church daily, as should be said. So, what is the blueprint that the early church had that they remained a thriving church? Acts 2, 42 to 46 paints a vibrant picture of the devotions of the early church believers committed themselves to. Learning doctrine from the apostles, fellowship, being together in the breaking of bread, attending the temple together, prayer, having meals in each other's houses, and being sacrificially generous. As we take a deeper dive into the scripture verses for this morning, we can relate to how, from 1986 onwards, our own church has somewhat mirrored this early church described in Acts 2, following these same devotions of the early church. Firstly, devotion to the apostles' doctrine, understanding the truth about their faith. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. These 3,000 early believers were deeply devoted to learning directly from the lips of the apostles. They did not have the New Testament as we do today. They steadfastly embraced the apostles' teachings with a singular focus, anchoring themselves to the truth of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. These teachings, now preserved in Scripture, became the firm foundation of their faith and ours too. Similarly, Hope BP Church started from a Bible study group in the living room of Reverend and Mrs. Powell. This same devotion to wanting to learn from Scripture has continued for the last 39 years and is one of the bedrocks of this church. Like before sowing new seeds, we always ensure that the soil is rich and ready. Just as plants flourish in good soil, our church has thrived on a steadfast commitment to learning, understanding, and applying God's word. We praise God for faithful pastors who have taught us all, for which we are personally grateful. So, what must we do? Encourage the preachers and Bible study leaders of this church, because they do understand that the calling to teach and preach is a great responsibility from God. Pray for Reverend Key and Reverend Powell, the elders of the church, and all session members, as well as those who lead in Bible studies. Encourage personal time to read the Bible. And remember that those who have received the saving grace of Christ must also be conscientious in hearing the word being taught and preached. Secondly, devotion to fellowship and hospitality, the pulse of the church community. Acts 2:42, 44-45. From 42, and they continued steadfastly in fellowship. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and it points to sharing relationships deeply. In the community of the early church, the depth of their relationship was closely bound spiritually, emotionally, and even materially. Coming from Singapore, when there are no sheep farms, I remember attending a farm show on my first visit to Australia. I watched a shepherd, aided by a farm dog, gathering his sheep. The flock of sheep did not only come closer to the shepherd, but when they were brought towards him, they were also brought closer to one another. In the same way, when called to faith in Jesus Christ, we are drawn not only to him, but into close fellowship with one another, just like sheep do. Fellowship is often associated with shared meals, but it goes far beyond that. Fellowship involves generosity and sacrifice, intertwining with hospitality through hosting meals, the visitation of the lonely, confronting the grieving, or offering support to those in need. Acts 2 illustrates a spirit-led love where believers were hospitable to one another, willing to part with their possessions to bless others. We may ask, what are the blessings of hospitality? Perhaps we can learn from the Bible the account of the shipwreck from Acts 27 to 28. We see powerful examples of fellowship, hospitality, and kindness extended to strangers through the experiences of Paul during his sea journey to Rome as a prisoner. It describes the shipwreck that Paul and the crew experienced and the safe refuge offered at Melita, which we now know as Malta. Here are some of the key lessons. In Acts 27, verses 33 to 36, we learn that the fellowship in adversity can be deeply sustaining. The ship was severely tossed in the sea. The famished crew, soldiers, and prisoners eat together after Paul urges them to take nourishment. This act of sharing food, even in such desperate times, shows a deep relationship in their fellowship. In Acts 28:2, we learn about the kindness of the islanders. When shipwrecked, Paul and all on board swam to safety. It was raining, and they experienced chilly conditions. They suffered from extreme cold. The Maltese showed kindness by building a fire to warm the shipwrecked strangers. Their actions illustrate their hospitality is practical kindness for those in need. And in Acts 28, verses 7 to 10, on the island of Malta, a chief official named Publius welcomes Paul and his companions, caring after them for 3 days. And in return, Paul heals Publius's father and others, demonstrating that hospitality leads to blessings. Do you know that there's a Hope School of Fellowship and Hospitality operating for the last 39 years? The first principal was Reverend Ed Power, and its current principal is Pastor Key. We may feel that this is a fictional school, yet it is at the same time so very real for us. There are no formal lessons because we learn by following the examples of our pastors and others. We are all enrolled in this school, applying what we have learned. It is no wonder the fellowship and hospitality at Hope BP Church has been and remain truly exemplary. There are just too many examples of how teachers and students at this school have been such a blessing to our church community and beyond. And in the time I have, I think I can only mention just a few. I would like to elaborate a little about the role model of the Ladies' Prayer and Chair Fellowship in the early days of our church. The ladies did more than praying. As the ladies prayed for the church ministries, they started collecting funds to support what they call their adopted missionary. And as the ladies shared, soon they would also celebrate each other's birthday and organize Mother Day's lunches, where the younger ladies would pay for the senior ladies. From this group, they also cooked a substantial amount of food for Sunday fellowship lunches. They provided flowers for the sanctuary. For hospitality, they either invited others out for a meal or cooked for those whom they invited home. Many would also provide transport for others who needed a ride to church. I often feel it is truly remarkable how the Holy Spirit has led this Ladies' Prayer and Share Fellowship to be so productive for the Lord. Others have surely observed and also learned from them. Then, there are also others whom I call the quiet A++ students who visit the elderly and bring them grocery shopping almost every week, and also sometimes for the medical appointments. I think it takes dedication and much Christian love to do this, not as a one-off, but for many years. Pastor Key loves that we be like sheep, gathering closely together. With the help of Sister Mia, who cooked a large amount of food, they gather the youth and families at their home for dinner on many Sundays. After dinner, they wash up together, and then they sang hymns together. Earlier in the day, they worship together. I think that various fellowship groups have likewise learned and are also gathering hopefuls together in the same manner. As for my family, we do remember how Pastor Ed and Sister Leah were there for us the very day that we relocated from Melbourne to Adelaide in 1991. Welcoming our family, my in-laws, Yod, myself, and Jonathan, with food and helping us to settle in. We have learned from them valuable lessons to likewise reach out to new migrants and visitors who come to this church. Sometimes life brings shipwreck moments, such as loss of loved ones, accidents, and illnesses. When you ever hit such a shipwreck time, you can be sure that hopefuls will gather for you. Just as so many of you gathered in our home late one night in March 2006 to console our family. Pastor T shortened his overseas trip to come back for us. We were really a little cold in our spirit, but your fellowship just lit up a fire. It almost burned down the house, I guess, just like the Maltese did. And we were all warm by your love for us, and we thank the Lord for each one of you. So, what must we do? Remember that all of us, like sheep, must always gather closely together. Be the comforter to those who need comforting. If you can, always try your best to meet in person for Bible studies and fellowship groups. Seek to be generous. Consider, what can I share? Time, resources, or hospitality to reflect Christ's love. Make efforts to visit each other in person. 8 migrant families and overseas students. Offer support to those starting a new life in this city. In general, be kind and welcoming to visitors of this church. And remember Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Thirdly, devotion to prayer. It is like the heartbeat of the church. Again, from verse 42, they continued steadfastly in prayer. When you look at the birth and growth of the early church in Acts, one truth stands out. Prayer was the heartbeat of the church. From homes to public squares, from individual private homes to temple-wide worship, the early church believers were people devoted to prayer, and the Holy Spirit moved powerfully among them. Prayer is essential. It is the basis of how we speak with our Father in heaven. We are led in prayers to the depths of God's mercy. He soothes our past wounds with his infinite grace. In our prayers, God unfolds that most wonderful path where he will take us on. That God answers prayer is the result that perhaps some feel is the most important outcome. Can I perhaps suggest that the more important outcome is knowing God from what he reveals? We learn from Acts 1:14 that prayer prepared the way for Pentecost. Before the Holy Spirit came in power, the disciples continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They waited, they sought God, and they prayed in unity. The result? The Holy Spirit descended, and the church was born in fervor. What might God do amongst us if we devoted ourselves to fervent, united prayer? Prayer sustained the church's mission in Acts 4:23-31. Prayer kept the early church anchored in God's presence, even as they faced persecution. When Peter and John were put in custody and came before the council, they shared the gospel boldly. When they were released, they told others what had happened to them. Then in verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And the result was, verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hope BP Church has been, from the onset, a congregation devoted to prayer. Every fellowship meeting is also a time that we can devote to praying together. As I mentioned, the ladies' prayer and share fellowship began around the year 2000 with that focus on praying. Ladies would always share and pray for their families and the church attendees and the ministries. After Wednesday Bible study, we normally have a time to pray together in smaller groups. On Sundays, we come early and join in pre-service prayers. Neighborhood Bible study meetings are also a time for much prayer. Planning for missions, HBC and family camps and other activities are also times of prayer, seeking God's direction. When we left at the end of 2019, there were already many fellowship groups and ministries. Whatever group, we can be sure that prayer is always part of every gathering. So, what must we do? Pray for divine intervention. For example, when Herod imprisoned Peter, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Acts 12:5, and an angel freed his chains from his hands. Prayer is our key to divine intervention. Pray for wisdom to guide critical decisions. Acts 13:2-3. Before sending out Paul and Barnabas as missionaries, the church at Antioch fasted and prayed. They sought God's direction, and the gospel spread to the nations. Without prayer, we operate in the realm of human reasoning, but with prayer, we operate with divine purpose. Make every day a call to prayer. If we long to see God move as He did in the early church, we must always return to persistent, faith-filled prayer. Not as a ritual, but as a lifeline. Not as a last resort, but always as our first response. Prayer changes us because it aligns our hearts with God's will. And as we pray, we will find that it changes our circumstances when we experience God's grace. As we pray for our community, prayer changes the world, advancing the kingdom of God. So, let us be a people devoted to prayer, just as the early church was. Let us gather, seek, and intercede with expectations, for we know that our God listens to our prayers, and He will answer them according to His sovereign will. Fourthly, devotion to being together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Imagine a family gathering around a dinner table. They do not just eat silently, unless the food is that good. But they share about how they are each doing. They encourage one another and they strengthen their relationships. They would be joyous, happy in meeting one another. Now, picture the early church as that family. They did not just attend religious services, they lived in deep community. Their worship was not confined to a temple. It spilled into houses where they broke bread, prayed and supported one another. Their relationship was rooted in the worship and the love of Christ. Those who follow Christ must be conscientious in worshiping Him. They met in the temple grounds to worship, fellowshipping with one another when coming together to worship God is really such a wonderful fellowship that they can have with one another. The breaking of bread refers to the early church's practice of regularly sharing meals together, including the Lord's Supper. It was a form of fellowship and a way to remember the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The passage does not detail the exact nature of the breaking of bread, but this times weave worship into daily life, creating occasions for delight, doing so with one accord in the singleness of heart. So again, what must we do? Make church attendance a non-negotiable part of your life. Praise God when you are alone or together, not just on Sundays, but during the week. We do not need to enter a church building to worship. We need to worship God on Monday, just as we worship Him the day before. Lastly, devotion to praising God and evangelism. It is a natural outcome. Praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord added to the church daily, as such as should be saved. Like the members of the early church community, we need to make it almost a habit to live life with more of a good Christian disposition. We do know of people whose Christianity sort of overflows, sort of oozes from their being. They light up with a special joy, and their love touches everyone around them. It is more than their personality, but an intentional choice of temperament. They choose to live a life where Christ is at the center of their life, and they display a love that blesses others in their presence with generosity, good works, and kindness. The early church was a good testimony to the community. The commitment to attending the temple together, breaking bread in each other's homes, having meals together with gladness and singleness of heart, practicing generous hospitality, and always worshiping and praising God with one accord, was such a good testimony that outsiders were attracted to these early Christians, and God added numbers to those who were being saved. Evangelism in the early church was not just a program, but the overflow of a generous and joyful church community onto greater society. I came across and would like to share with all here about the inspiring ministry of a 140-year-old institution named the Flemington Mission, operating from the Flemington Presbyterian Church Hall in Melbourne. Each Tuesday, between 9 a.m. to noon, their doors are open to provide not only food, clothing and blankets, but also essential services such as haircuts, mobile laundry and pathway libraries. Weekly, more than 100 households are blessed with supply of fresh produce and non-perishables. I witnessed that there were about 20 lonely people in the community who do not come for food or other services, but are just seated for the weekly coffee and fellowship time between friends. I'm particularly encouraged to find church volunteers spending time with them and having coffee together. A simple lunch is provided if anybody needs a cooked meal. What have I learned? The lesson I learned from being on site at the Flemington Mission is that believers need to embrace our commitment to following Christ and live out the core values of a Christian faith: love, service, and compassion. We can be aware of the challenges of the poor, needy, and lonely. When these outside challenges are met by a church community, the blessings are felt by both church volunteers and recipients. But it is much more than food or services. It offers outsiders a glimpse of Christianity, of a more secure future, grounded in faith and a lively hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, what must we do? Let loving and serving others be an evangelism operative. A church that serves others becomes appealing. Personify Matthew 5:13-16. Strive to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. So in conclusion, from a small Bible study group to a thriving church, our journey is a testament to God's faithfulness and the work of the Holy Spirit. Like the early believers, we are to be devoted to learning from the Scriptures, fellowship, worship, evangelism, prayer, and praise. We give thanks for His grace, and like sheep drawn to our great shepherd, may we always be drawn close together in unity of faith and fellowship. For 39 years, God has sustained us, but we know that there are higher mountains for us to climb. Let us seek the Holy Spirit's guidance, deepen our love for one another, and be a light to the community here in Kernel Light Gardens. May we all live out Acts 2:42, bringing glory to God in all that we do. Let us pray. Our most gracious and glorious Father in heaven, we come before you with gratitude, celebrating this milestone in our church's journey. We thank you for the grace and mercies you have provided us throughout these last 39 years. As we step forward, may your presence guide us, your Spirit empower us, and your love bind us together in the oneness of Christ. Lord, keep this church rooted in your word and watch over this assembly of believers with your grace. May we continue to be a blessing to each other, devoted to your truth, eager to share the gospel, and always uplifted by your presence. We pray all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his glory forevermore. Amen.